What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles post-game show. My name is Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri. The Eagles won 24-18 in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars. My heart is still racing. Gino, how about you, man? You alive right now? I mean, this is like this quintessential 2018 Eagles victory.
Yeah, I'm all excited right now. I got in the car to come down to the studio. I tossed on Dreams and Nightmares. I was roaring, ready to go. I'm feeling good, even though it was another earth-shaking game at the end there. They came out on top, and that was a 2017 Eagles win if I've ever seen one.
Seriously, though, the first half, once again, it was smooth. I mean, it started off rocky, but then with that Dallas Goedert touchdown before the half, you're feeling really good about the Eagles and the offense. The defense is taking out a Blake Bortles-led offense that they should. Mm-hmm. But then again in the second half, the Eagles are at that magic number, 17 points.
I hate that number.
17 points, and the Jaguars are coming back. They pull within at one point, 17-15?
Yep.
So it was a two-point game, and you're thinking all over again, here we go, this is the Tennessee Titans game. This is the Carolina Panthers game. But not this time. The Eagles finally hold, and look, the way it happened I think was good, too. And I think it puts to rest a lot of the narratives that we were getting tired mm-hmm. of, which was that everything was on the offense late in games. And, you know, the Carson Wentz isn't clutch thing that was going on this week. That one especially. Carson Wentz was clutch today. He was clutch all game. He was a man on a mission. Let's get into Wentz first. Just the numbers. Carson Wentz finishes 21 of 30, only 9 incompletions against a Jaguars defense again that was almost historically good last year. They nearly were the dragged Blake Bortles to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz this year goes 21 of 30 on them, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, a rating of 119.6, averaging 9.5 yards per target. That's what's huge about this is Carson Wentz was slinging the ball. He was taking shots. Whether you thought it was a good look or a bad look, he was going all out, and he was attacking a Jaguars defense that a lot of other people will shy away from. And I fell in love with how he was playing today. It was aggressive, and the only play I'll say I didn't really like was the Josh Perkins attempt in the red zone when they were double covered. I thought it was the same play as the Carolina Panthers play where he had Smallwood again on the left side. But after that, look, Carson Wentz, this is what he is. He's an aggressive quarterback that's going to play aggressive throughout his entire career. And you're going to have to live with the good. You're going to have to live with the bad. And to me, there's going to be more good than bad with him. I want him to be a little bit more picky with it. And I thought he was after that Perkins play. I thought he chose his spots better, and he was on fire. And he closed the game. He was the reason that the Eagles won that game. The defense nearly caving in again. It was Carson Wentz that did it. So the clutch stuff, I don't want to hear about it anymore for a while.
Forever.
Yeah.
Because you hit it right on the head. And this is the narrative we should have been talking about last week. And I'm glad it came through this week because he did everything he had to do. Like, he was throwing receivers open like crazy. Like Jordan Matthews streaking down the seam. He put that ball
perfectly
where nobody else could have gotten it.
The all-business connection is back.
That's the exact throw that you need, and there's not many guys in the league that are making those throws. The connection he has with Zach Ertz is one of the best tight end to quarterback duos in the entire NFL and maybe in the history of the league. They're on pace to do historic things at this moment, and he had to carry it. You saw the running game. It wasn't getting going for a while.
The offensive line lost both tackles.
Yeah,
so
they switched three guys at one point.
He put that team on his back. So at one point, Big V is playing right tackle.
Correct.
Then Jason Peters goes out. He's in concussion protocol. So Big V's got to go to the left side. Isaac Seumalo bumps out to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Wiz goes into the left guard spot. I will say this, the Eagles' depth at the offensive line position, I thought that was showing today. I know they struggled, they were on and off. That Jaguars pass rush started to get after them later in the game, but I thought they played fairly well for the situation that those guys were thrown into, and I thought it was a gritty character win for this Eagles team, and Wentz's mobility was on par. He was making those Jaguar pass rushers miss. So he was a big reason, too, to mask some of the flaws in that offensive line. I just thought he was on point with everything. I mean, even that last play that really secured the win, that RPO to pick up the first down with Jordan Matthews, he leads Miles Jack all the way to the sideline. Jordan Matthews sitting right back in the middle of the field where Jack followed Wentz, because if Jack just sits on that, Wentz probably runs it, maybe doesn't pick up the first down. Instead, he draws Jack down, hits Matthews. It was an incredible performance by Wentz.
The thing about Carson is he's just a split second faster than everybody else on the field. Right. You could see it from the beginning of the game when they didn't get off to the greatest start. But I think when I knew that the Eagles were going to come out in this game was when he threw the first tip pass and it came right into his hands and he picked up that first down. And I said, Carson Wentz is going to be the reason that they win this game because he is a QB1. He is a franchise quarterback. He is clutch. That narrative needs to be put to bed. He went out there and did it all. And when he got into a rhythm and they were able to work in those runs with the hot hand of Josh Adams, everything came together. And you saw that when they had that good balance, how good this offense can be. You get guys involved like Dallas Goedert. You get guys involved like Jordan Matthews. Once you start getting these complementary pieces in play and not just favoring Ertz and Alshon, this offense is electric. You saw it. They were moving the ball on a very good defense with a very good defensive line against an offensive line that was just tarred and tattered throughout the game.
Yep.
So to do that is no small feat by any means.
Especially, too, you look at the receivers, five different people had two or more receptions. You look at Jordan Matthews had four receptions for 93 yards. Nelson Agholor, three for 49. Wendell Smallwood, two for 42 and a touchdown. Alshon had four for 35. And Zach Ertz, four for 26. Goddard only had the one catch, but he scored a touchdown. And look, Goddard is going to be a problem in the NFL. The Eagles literally have two Zach Ertzes. It's like that they were twins. He looks identical to Ertz the way he runs routes, the way he catches the football, the way he runs. The only thing that is better than what Ertz was at this point in his career. So Goddard as a rookie compared to Zach Ertz as a rookie. I'm not saying right now what Zach Ertz is right now, because right now he's acting like a number one wide receiver, the numbers he's putting up. But when Zach Ertz was a rookie, he did not have the blocking ability that Dallas Goedert has right now. The way Goddard has helped out in the run game right now, too, to go with the pass-catching ability that Ertz had, too, as a rookie, Goddard is more advanced than Ertz was right now. And considering they have two of those guys in this offense for Wentz's disposal, finally they were unleashing that a little bit today. And Goddard, a big play down the field, and that's what he did really good at South Dakota, was those deep plays down the field. And I think that's the first time you've really seen it this year where he was used down the field where Wentz took a shot to him. So Goddard stepped up big. I thought Jordan Matthews was huge.
Great game.
And I thought he instilled some confidence maybe in Howie Roseman to not go after a number three receiver on Monday or Tuesday at the trade deadline, although our guy, DeSean Jackson, did request a trade this morning, according to Ian Rappaport. He wants out of Tampa Bay. So that's what's awesome about this win too, Gino, is like they won the game. Because at 3-5, me and you aren't on standby tomorrow.
I wouldn't be in
for
right
an emergency if the Eagles could potentially make a big deal at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Today's win also makes tomorrow and Tuesday so much more fun.
Oh, yes.
Because even if they don't go for a receiver now, because look, Jordan Matthews was really good, especially late in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that pass was perfect by Wentz down the seam, but a great catch by
what
Jordan
about the
Matthews.
Pass on the boundary when
that's
he,
right.
had, he
yeah.
high pointed the ball, got both
he
feet
also,
down. That
Jordan,
awareness was
Jordan Matthews also made a great block on that final first down by Wendell Smallwood. He was the blocker in the middle of the field, down the field for a receiver. He opens up that spot for Smallwood to pick up that first down. So even in the blocking game, I thought it was an awesome performance by Matthews. And it came at a huge time because, again, I, before the game, was saying, all right, what do we have to give up for DeSean Jackson? Let's put this deep threat next to Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Agholor. But I think Jordan Matthews maybe instilled a little bit of confidence in Howie Roseman to maybe not make a move, but he was big. Alshon Jeffrey, I know he only had, 35 yards, but that 3rd-and-9 pickup,
huge.
He beat Jalen Ramsey a couple times one-on-one. Alshon, again, he'll have quiet games like this where he still makes a big impact, where it doesn't show up in the numbers, but he made some very impactful plays today.
Yeah, and I think why those guys like Jordan Matthews and Dallas Goedert had big games is because that Jags defense was depleted in the secondary outside of Jalen Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Alshon is a leader. He knows his role. He's like, okay, if I can beat Ramsey 2 out of every 10 times, get 40 yards, and pick up a couple first downs, that's exactly what I need to do. But I need to open it up for the guys that are playing against lesser competition. I haven't heard of any of the guys that played corner outside of Ramsey. Yeah, it was a long day for them, too. But that's what happens in this game. Injuries happen. You saw with the Eagles' offensive line, but the Eagles exploited that weakness of their secondary. And a good sign is what was Wentz's yards per attempt today? 9.6 yards, I think.
It was exactly 9.6. 9.5.
So that's big. That's up from prior games.
Come a long way
from
the Sam Bradford 6.5. Remember back in the day?
Yeah. So, but that's a big stat, especially when you don't have a field stretching wide receiver. And if you can go out and get a guy that can open it for the rest of that team, just imagine. This Jacksonville Jaguar team plays they play a bend don't break defense, but they still have the ability to cover in man. But they kept everything in front of them. They didn't really let any deep shots happen. Imagine if you could get a deep threat in there and just take the top off of the
right.
ball.
Right. I still, I mean, if they can still get DeSean Jackson, I'm kind of all for
him,
it because
Robbie
still,
Anderson, yeah, Emmanuel Sanders,
still can
anybody
play
like
Jordan
that.
Matthews in bigger format, to bigger
do a
packages.
Bunch and then play him on the
weak right.
side.
You can play
and
him in bigger packages.
Coverage.
So if it's only going to take a fourth or fifth round pick for DeSean. I'm all for it. And speaking of what the big plays, though, although they don't really have technically a quintessential downfield threat, a guy that's really just his job, right? Like a DeSean Jackson. They don't have that guy. But the Eagles did have five big plays of 30 or more yards today against one
that's
of the best
huge.
Defenses in the NFL. Jordan Matthews has made plays down the field on the outside, surprisingly. Nelson Agholor didn't have a huge game, but he came up with some big plays today. And it was really, though, Wentz. Wentz was making this happen. And now, Geno, 13 passing touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The Eagles are 4-4, so you're not going to hear the talk until maybe they get to 6-4, you know, a couple games over 500. But Carson Wentz should be in the MVP conversation. And it was overshadowed by the collapse on that final drive, and so we started talking about him late in games, and that overshadowed what has been an MVP-type season for Wentz so far this year. 13 touchdowns and 2 picks, coming off a torn ACL. The way he looks, 3 carries today, 31 rushing yards as well. He should be talked about like Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, or you know, all the other young guys, not only just them, but the MVP candidates this year. Carson Wentz needs to be in there.
I think it's a great point. I don't think you're far off at all, but the thing that with them is they have those downfield threats. Like, you think about it, like, look at all the highlights you see of Pat Mahomes. Like, he makes stellar throws, but he's got Tyreek Hill jetting down the seam, getting open for 70 yarders. Carson doesn't have that. He's having to grind out drives that what after the second half, I think it was early in the third quarter, that 94 yard touchdown drive, or was that right before half? I can't remember.
It was after the half.
It was after the half. Yep. 94 yards he had to go down and not dink and dunk, but make nice throws. Like
he's making the downfield plays happen.
The Jaguars are sticky corner cover corners. Like, they're not giving you huge windows, and he's going out there and
like
throwing
the Goddard play, he made that happen, rolling
Jordan
to his
Matthews,
right, everyone's
seam,
closing in on him.
Thing.
Yeah. So
what about the pass across his body when he's getting taken down, getting
that, it's just
sacked,
a pure arm
and
throw.
No right to throw that ball, and puts a dime to Jordan Matthews.
That's why you have to appreciate, and he was driving me a little crazy for a couple of plays to start, but you just have to appreciate just the street type pickup player mentality he
NFL
has sometimes.
2K,
it's just so NFL Street 2 type mentality.
When he's not pressing, there's two Carson Wentz. There's the 2016 that presses the ball down the field. You saw it on the interception to Josh Perkins. He tried to press that ball. Probably should have played the wheel route to Wendell Smallwood, as we all saw. But when Carson is in a rhythm and he's smooth and he doesn't get flustered and goes through his reads,
right? Sometimes
he's
flustered and
he's
making a play to try to get out of that.
Exactly.
Mode. Whereas when he is in that mode, you're saying that takeover mentality,
he's
and
he
then
can
he's
dominate,
for and then he's
and
taking shots down the field. It's a spectacle. Yeah. It's so fun to watch. And there's nothing we can't take it for granted, because I don't think we've never seen anything like it.
No, you want to know what's an underrated play that probably won't be talked about in this game is. Yeah. When they're pinned in their own goal line after the punt, Calais Campbell's coming out to chase him on the bootleg. He ducks underneath, and Calais Campbell goes over him. If that's Nick Foles, that's a sack.
And
Campbell's
talking to him after the play, too. Like, how did you get away from
people understand how good he is. Alshon came here to play with him. Mike Wallace came here to play with him. People understand that this kid is a baller, and he showed it today. Hats off to Carson Wentz, because any quarterback, you could see these guys that come back from ACL injuries, we saw it with Sam Bradford, they could shy away from playing these tough defensive lines, and especially a team like Jacksonville going up against a depleted offensive line. You could saw him just bunker down and just take hits and not try to make plays. He's out there sliding head first. He's taking hits, getting first downs. Even after the throw in the face of pressure, he's getting lighted up by on blitzes. He does not care. When he plays well, he is an MVP, and you see it, and people need to open their eyes to it and get this guy all the weapons in the world, Howie, because this offense can be electric, and this is a step in the right direction from where they were the first few games of the season.
And it's officially trade deadline week now, and it's time.
It.
This is
my favorite time
for Howie Roseman to make his money. And before we get over to the defensive side, the running game, Josh Adams, 6 yards per carry. They finally let him get going. He had 13 carries today. And thank God, by the way, that he is a bigger running back, so he got his butt down on the ground, because he nearly fumbled away that game. And again, though, Josh Adams should be a complementary piece in this run game. He should be the number two or the number three right now, although with the way Corey Clement's looking, and, you know, Smallwood up and down again today, had a touchdown, made the big first down pickup. But Smallwood, again, Smallwood and Adams, perfect complementary pieces to a Le'Veon Bell or a LeSean McCoy. So to me, I'm still more on a running back than anything else personnel-wise when we're talking about a potential trade this week. I think that they should go after Le'Veon Bell again. I think it would only take a second or third round pick to get Le'Veon Bell. And imagine with how good Wentz is playing right now, if you have that consistency, the way Josh Adams was playing, that balance you talked about, you have that pretty much 24-7, because you're not going to be able to rely on Josh Adams to do that average 6 yards a carry all season long. But you can rely on a McCoy or a Bell to have that type of impact every single game and have Josh Adams, that big body, be your bruising second or third running back and make it difficult for a defense, because that's the impact that LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi had last year. You got to keep dealing with LeGarrette Blount. He goes off the field. You're not going to be able to take a breather because here comes Jay Ajayi, another train. So I'm still all in on running back, and I think Jordan Matthews helped me kind of regain my confidence in the wide receiver group just as a whole, because – you need that, having that third and fourth option. Look at the Chiefs and look at the Rams. You want to have more than just, as good as Zach Ertz is, you want to have at least three receiver options too. When we're talking about speed and outside ability, you want to have those options to go with the tight end. And I don't know, Jordan Matthews looked really good today again, and he's shown flashes. He's been inconsistent, but as your number three wide receiver, if Tampa Bay is going to ask for a second round pick for DeSean Jackson, I'll probably pass.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
if they want a four or a five, I'm still all in on it. I'd consider a three, but Matthews today made me say I don't really want to overpay.
Yeah, you made some good points. I think Jordan really stepped up and showed that maybe we don't. And I think the wide receiver position with this team is,
I think it was
better,
the arm sleeve, by the way. The Jordan Matthews, he put on the arm
when
sleeve.
When Carson
today
came out with that white arm sleeve, I knew the game was over, just perfect. Like Carolina last year.
They're
2-0
when he's
year.
Rocking the white arm sleeve.
Yeah, they should.
They
got to
use
rocking.
White on white more often.
Yeah, so Jordan Matthews had a great game. Nelson Agholor stepped into his role well. I think he got in space, but I still think they need somebody to take the top off. But they have two guys that are on the IR that can play that role. Mac Hollins, we saw him last year against the Redskins. He can get downfield, and Mike Wallace is the same way. So if I'm going to trade for a piece right now,
it does have to do with Wallace's health.
I agree, he's coming back.
And I think it'll be telling what they do at the deadline. Mm-hmm. That should be telling
of
about Wallace's health.
On the IR.
Because if they don't go after a wide receiver, maybe they're confident that Mike Wallace can come back. So I think that's it's a big factor in deciding what they want to do tomorrow and on Tuesday, is the health of not only Mike Wallace, but like you said, Mac Collins. But yeah, Jordan Matthews, a big game today. We put up our poll, the Lockdown Eagles player of the game. Right now, it's a dead heap between Carson Wentz and Jordan Matthews, both at 43%, Fletcher Cox at 14%. And I think it goes to Carson Wentz, if you ask me. Gino, what about you? I think Wentz has got to be the player of the game.
He put it on his back. He was in the face of pressure all game by a good defensive line and wasn't rattled, made great throws, threw guys open all day.
That's what it makes you feel good about this win. I'm still concerned about the defense, which we're going to get into. And the win itself was very shaky. They almost blew it again. I was thinking, here we go again. Once they scored 17 points and Jacksonville was coming back,
I hate
that
number 17. It's the worst.
But the reason I'm still feeling good in a shaky win is because it wasn't a shaky win when we're talking about the quarterback. I feel good right now because our quarterback, every single week, has Carson Wentz had a bad week yet?
That's the thing.
He has not had a bad game.
His supporting
he's had a bad moment
had bad
against
games.
Carolina. It was a bad moment, but that's it.
Outside of the two interceptions, I really can't take anything
away from
what he's done.
So that's why I'm feeling really good right now. on top of my boy Rasul Douglas coming in. How about that? Free Zool. The campaign continues. Rasul Douglas comes in. I didn't want Jalen Mills to get hurt, but Douglas has to come in. Darby shifts over to the left side. Mm-hmm. So Douglas is on the
right. Yeah, I was
right
shocked
now.
By that. I saw him over there. I'm like, what is happening right
Jim
now?
Jim Schwartz making that adjustment?
Yeah, I that would not have expected that in a million years.
But Douglas, for some reason, Dexter McDougal has been playing more than Dexter McDougal.
He could be the worst cornerback this Eagles team has ever had.
It's made sense why he hasn't had a job.
I cannot wait for Sidney Jones to be back.
I tweeted it out during the game. Sidney Jones can't come back soon enough.
Because we had the last two seasons. Think about it. We've had consistency at that slot corner role. Patrick Robinson had the best year of his career last year.
And Sidney Jones has been one of the best slot corners this year.
And he's been excellent. In tackling, too, he has great sound formation. I think I'm not a good ice skater by any means, but I think my footwork on ice is better than Dexter McDougal at any time
he's
on 2 feet.
His open field tackling was terrible.
Oh, my gosh. Is he playing just in slow motion? He just doesn't give an effort at all. Lost in space all day.
Another move that angered me about Jim Schwartz.
But
Rasul Douglas, though, real quick, that pass breakup on third down on the final drive, the hit stick. He had a underrated moment, the pass breakup on the 2-point conversion. If he doesn't break up that pass and they get in the end zone there,
that's a game
changer.
That
makes the game more interesting as well. Douglas made some big plays today on the outside, so a big day for my brand.
Yeah, I liked what I saw out of him. There was a couple times he got lost in space. I think
he got caught watching the quarterback the one time. Yes, a big play to DJ Chark.
Yeah, these guys that play against zones, they know how to scheme them open.
He almost came down with another interception though too.
He's a long rangy guy who plays great. He plays that role great. But
two times in 3 weeks, he's almost had a big play.
I think this bye week's gonna be good. You get Jalen back. You get Sidney back. I have to take my cap off to the coaching staff for moving Avante Maddox to safety. Because, he is playing excellent football right now. He is always around the ball. If it's running, if it's on a run play, you saw he came off the backside and got the tackle on Yeldon, I think it was, to stop the third down. He had that turnover with the fumble. He's been excellent.
He can hit, and he's a small
guy. He's
5 foot
nine, and he hits like a truck.
There's a difference between Ronald Darby and Avante Maddox where Maddox has that dog in him where he can just lays the boom for what's he 5'9"?
5'9".
The hit stick that guy can put on players, he's going to be a perfect slot corner for when eventually they move Sidney Jones on the outside, and depending on what they do with Jalen Mills, or maybe they decide when McLeod's gone that Jalen Mills is the guy they'd rather have inside, and Maddox stays at safety because right now I've been impressed with what I've seen. There's been some rookie moments for him.
Of course.
As a fourth-round pick,
another nickel corner, and he's playing safety and playing it at a high level now.
So Maddox steps up, Rasul Douglas. It was a good day for the depth. It was a big character win for this team because a lot of guys stepped up, not named Dexter McDougal.
Yeah.
But
I think he's the only downfall to this game, really. I think everybody played well. The defensive line played great. Jordan Hicks,
is he playing
great in a contract year. 12 tackles, I think 1.5 sacks.
We're going to prioritize him. Wentz is going to get his contract, but after that, I think Brandon Graham still gets re-signed too, but Jordan Hicks is going to be the guy that they really want to keep.
He's one of the top 7 inside linebackers now.
You can't let him go at all. What did you think, Gino, of the defense as a whole? I thought to start, once again, I thought they had 2.5 really solid quarters. And then again, I'm starting to see the shyness. I'm starting to see the mistakes in the same conservative play. And to me, it was a lot about Jim Schwartz once again. But there was just a bunch of things. It was Dexter McDougal getting playing time. A lot of playing time. He played the majority of the game. It was the pass rush a lot of the time, as good as it was. There's too many times late in the game where Brandon Graham has the quarterback. He's got him, and the quarterback bounces off of him. There's too
That's
many.
Getting
that
very
happened
old.
Even in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Brandon Graham, it's happened a bunch of times to specifically Graham, where it looks like he's got both hands on the quarterback, and they just find a way to slip out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They got to finish sacks. They got to finish tackles. And they almost gave this game away. And I saw the narrative being formulated by some that, the offense doesn't finish this year. 17 points isn't enough. I was already seeing the Eagles defense held the Jaguars to one touchdown. You got to look at the situation. Once again, the Eagles have a 2 or more score lead late in the game, and the Eagles defense was giving up points. Even if it's holding them to a field goal, why did it have to take the final drive against Blake Bortles for this Eagles defense to finally hold them to no points? and to hold them on a fourth down. It took two tries because they converted that first fourth down. Finally, at the very last chance, the Eagles defense decides to adjust, play closer to the line, man coverage. Darby makes that big play on the fourth down stop. But it was a last second adjustment. Once again, Jim Schwartz and that defense nearly blew it. And it's frustrating. It's like, why is it so easy to drive on this defense late in games? Even it's three points, touchdown. It just, they always are soft in the second half, and they came up big. I'll give them credit late. But the defense is what I'm frustrated with right now, again, because it was the same tendencies they've been showing all year late in games. They're just too easy to drive on. And it was Blake Bortles. Did you see some of the throws Blake Bortles
was
making?
He was putting up some dimes. That ball to DJ Chark was just an absolute gem, and
he threw all those. Yeah, and they got
the one
lucky
to
D.D.
Westbrook.
That's the thing, they got lucky that touchdown didn't happen because, I mean, the final score, 24-18, they lost by six.
Yeah. They did have the ball in Jaguars territory,
right? But you score that, it could be a different game. So the Eagles defense getting lucky, that's what I'm waiting for in the bye week is the adjustments for Jim Schwartz. It's got to happen soon, the health is coming back for both sides of the ball. But I'm not happy with Jim Schwartz right now.
You see it on both sides of the football when they play conservative. There was that 3rd and 13 late in the game where Doug decides to run a screen. Carson has been throwing absolute gems all day. Let him take a shot down the field. Why are you running plays behind the line of scrimmage when you want to put yourself in better field position to flip the field?
But that's why eventually Peterson's like, forget it. After that first run, the drive to really close it out.
Oh, he let Carson go.
The play before the RPO to Matthews, they ran it stuffed.
Yep.
You could tell right there Doug Peterson's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like he said last week, I want the ball in Wentz's hands late in games. And I love the RPO play call because it's not something, they're not just standard drop back taking a shot over the middle. RPO trying to catch the defense off guard. They draw Miles Jack in. He just trusted Carson Wentz to make the play over Wendell Smallwood, and I love that. But you're right. Eventually, the offense started doing like that a little bit too, but they shook out of it. And I feel like the defense did too, but it was, again, the very last opportunity.
They were good, like you said. All of the first half, they were great. He was dialing up some good blitzes, some stuff I haven't seen all year. And then in that third quarter, the Eagles take the 2-score lead, and then they're just playing off again. They're sending four. Like, that pass rush gets tired. They don't have the depth they had last year, especially with Barnett being out. The depth is going to get tired eventually. You have
especially
to keep throwing
the age
blitzes.
Of the edge rushers.
Yeah, exactly. You have to understand what's going on. You were successful with blitzes all day. You were hitting Bortles. You sacked him, what, four times? You hit him close to 10, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and you just can't be conservative, and he did that again. And then, like you said, he adjusted well at the end of the game. When he adjusts and isn't conservative and lets his guys go and make plays after the quarterback, they do really well. And that fourth down at the end of the game, my computer froze, so I didn't even see the play. I was so nervous when I turned it back on and I saw the incompletion. I'm like, oh my goodness. But yeah, Darby can make those plays. Like, you have to
let
them
track.
Let them, yes, let them play and step up, because that gives them confidence that they haven't had all year.
You were talking about the four-man pass rush and how they went back to that and they were kind of playing conservative again. But even at times when they were bringing the blitz, they were still playing soft zone coverage, so it was just the crosser, Blake Bortles. It was like the same
route. And they were having success
with it. Four different times. And finally,
Cam did the same thing last week.
So finally, when you're going to blitz, bring some guys down, though. Trust your corners to play man coverage, or else you're going to literally give them that play
every single time.
And they did, and they kept converting until the Eagles are like, finally, you know what? Darby, get up on the line of scrimmage. Rasul, get up on the line of scrimmage. It took the last couple plays to do it, but thank God they did it, because we might be talking about another collapse of a loss right now with the Eagles, and it would have been on the defense's hands. I know people would have wanted to blame the offense again, but when you're
Carson
given
went left the field with a touchdown,
when you score 24 points, you should beat Blake Bortles every time,
every single time,
every time. It should not even take a 24-18 win. That you should not. Blake Bortles is one of the worst starting quarterbacks I've ever seen. I cannot believe they made the AFC Championship game last year with him.
It shows you how good that defense is.
It just speaks night and day how just a true testament to how good that defense is. The fact that Blake Bortles was a starting quarterback in the AFC Championship game last year.
Yeah, I think they also have good pieces on offense. Like, I really like what T.J. Yeldon does. He plays that role really well. He's a great
candidate for us.
Now that you said that, now that they're falling back a little bit, they got Carlos Hyde and Fournette. I wouldn't mind a Yeldon. Like, that's exactly what they need. That they need that explosiveness. You could see a little bit of a Le'Veon Bell in his game. You know, like
very poor man's Le'Veon Bell.
Yes, very poor man's. He's very patient when he runs the ball. He's very patient when he blocks and then goes out for the screen. He did well. I think the receivers had a little bit more success than I would have liked, especially their tight ends. That the one you heard the announcer say that the one tight end was in pass pro in practice. And the tackle didn't even know his name. Like that, I think they let up too much there. But when they were ball hawking and getting back to that no fly zone mentality, like you saw it when Darby laid that hit down, like that's the team they need.
I thought
to
I went
be.
Back in time and saw Asante Samuel in 2010 with the hit stick,
like a Brian Dawkins type.
That
hit.
Was
yeah,
shocking.
Was...
I had to do a double take that was Darby. I saw the dreads. Maybe that was Maddox. It was Ronald Darby. Darby stepped up big late in that game. I'll give him credit where
he played
credit's
the QB
due.
One rule.
When you let him track. He came up big again. So that's a couple times late in games where Darby has stepped up. So I'll give it to
Malcolm
him.
Malcolm Jenkins continues to make excellent plays. Should've we haven't even talked about him yet.
I know. Should have had two sacks. Both blitzes. He had Bortles wrapped
that
up.
That pass breakup, he's done that twice
that
in the past 2 weeks
incredible.
By the tip of his fingers.
Tip of his fingers. He lays out for it on DJ Chark. Yeah, Malcolm Jenkins, I feel like, is him and Jordan Hicks. And Fletcher Cox, really, when you think about it. Like, how disruptive
I love
Cox
Fletcher
was.
Cox.
They're just so good that we kind of just, like, assume, yeah, they're going to be dominant.
And you know what you
Let's
love
talk about the other talking points. But they were, again, Malcolm Jenkins, so underappreciative. He
oh,
was
yeah.
dominant.
Yeah, he always is, and it's just...
They're the glue of this Eagle. I mean, those three.
They're
the
just quiet assassins. Like, they go about their business. Fletcher Cox, the thing that I love. You see guys that sign $100 million contracts all the time just... don't play their role well. Like, look at, like, Albert Haynesworth, like a big body defensive tackle, gets their money, doesn't do anything. Fletcher Cox is a leader on this team. What about on special teams when these guys are drawn at each
DeAndre
other?
Hall,
he puts
he got in his
the
face.
Entire Eagles defense special teams on his arms. There's, like, seven guys, and he just says, no, not today, boys. Like, we are going to play our game. We're not going to settle to their level. He is a leader. He had that big tipped pass at the line.
Yep,
he steps up. Him, Malcolm Jenkins, and Jordan Hicks, the three guys at three of the most, some of the most important positions on the field,
all three levels too,
produce consistently every single week, and it is a disservice to them because they're all pros right now, and they're all Pro Bowlers. They're playing at some of the highest football I've ever seen Eagles right. defensive players play.
You're
in
getting
this season.
You're getting the same consistent
every
high
week.
Level of play from not only those three guys, but like the core: Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, Malcolm Jenkins, Jordan Hicks. And Fletcher Cox. Like, you know
what
you from those six guys, you know what you're getting every single week. And finally, this week, we got stuff from the other guys. Because it's
exactly.
the other guys that we're talking about that have been the reason they've been losing these games. Darby stepped up today. Rasul Douglas stepped up. Avante Maddox. You look on the offensive side of the ball. Jordan Matthews. And the offensive line depth with Isaac Seumalo and Halapuli Vaivaitai was up and down once again, but
Isaac Seumalo, give him credit, man. Like ever since those first couple games,
he was public
of his career,
enemy number one
for
the summer for all
time.
The high snaps.
Now you want him on the field all game.
Yeah, they actually made the right move putting him in over Wiz.
I mean,
he's played guard, center, tackle. He's your Swiss Army knife on the offensive line. He's your Malcolm Jenkins up on the offensive line, where you're using him everywhere.
Yeah, it's
so
good to
hats
see.
Off to Seumalo as well. I mean, that was a big time performance from him. So an injury update real quick. Lane Johnson, he went out. I think he was carted into the locker room,
right? That's what I heard.
He has a sprained MCL.
Grade 2 MCL.
So he's
two
out at least
weeks.
A couple weeks. Could be
huge
out a month.
Huge with the bye.
Huge,
huge the bye.
Time to have a bye week. Because I can't think of a
He needs
more
to get healthy in general. So
that
honestly, this
lose.
Isn't like the worst injury in the world for him. Like that high ankle sprain was bugging him. Like let him sit out a couple weeks.
It's been since the week of the Giants game.
Yep. Yeah,
right
yeah,
after Minnesota, he's been dealing
we
with
We didn't know
that.
If he was going to play that Thursday game, yeah. But I want to touch on that point you said about these guys that are their core making plays every single week. If you look at the NHL and look at the teams that have had consistent success, let's take the Pittsburgh Penguins. They've had the same six core guys forever. Right. They've had two stud defensemen. They've had Sidney Crosby. They've had Evgeny Malkin. And then they just plug in their other guys.
Yeah,
if you have a core that can play together, and Carson and Zach that consistently will play the next 10 years together,
well, yeah, that's a good part.
And
they're
then another
Alshon
Jeffrey, another Lane Johnson, these guys are going to be so cohesive for the next 5 to 7 years that's huge. I trust the evaluators to get guys that can come plug and play. Like this season, it's taken a little step back just because those guys have gotten injured, like the Mike Wallaces of the world. Haloti Ngata hasn't been consistently playing.
Sidney Jones.
Yeah, those guys can come in and play. But if you have these core guys signed to big deals and keep them in-house, keep that leadership core together, create that new norm, that's massive. And you see that in this game. I tweeted before the game, I said, you are going to find out who this team is today. You are going to find their identity. If they lose, they deserve to lose, and they didn't step up in the right moments. But if they win, they knew that they had to win. Doug said the pressure was off. I think this was the most pressure they've had since the Super Bowl. I think agree. this was the biggest game since the Super Bowl.
If you're at 3-5, Washington it's plays over. The Giants today. If they win, they're 5-2. You would have been 3.5 games back.
This was
and
the biggest game the Saints, since the Super Bowl.
You still have to play the Rams. You have to play good teams like Houston. You have all your divisional games, which your division always plays you tougher than they probably should, depending on their talent. So you had to have this game. So it's like we're 4-4, and if you told me and you that in the summer, we'd be like, what's going on? Yeah. Which is rightfully so. The exact
literally
reaction
is what
we should
we're
have.
Now.
But because you got the win to get to 4-4, and because of the way you did it and the way your quarterback's playing, and also the way you're losing games, the fact that you were able to overcome that finally, that's a step in the right direction. I've been waiting for this team to figure that out because this isn't the 2016 Eagles where you're like, I don't think this team's going to be able to figure it out yet. I think they're too young. They haven't shown up in these moments yet with your rookie quarterback, your rookie head coach. But now, like this team, we've been expecting them to get out of that funk for a while because they've learned how to do that. When you won the Super Bowl last year, you put that experience on you. You clearly figured out how to do it. So this year, we've been waiting for them to figure out how to close those games, and they did it today. So to me, that should, with a bye week coming up, with the health, hopefully maybe a deal coming up on Monday or Tuesday, this should right the ship now. This should be the turnaround game. It wasn't the Giants game. It should have been the Panthers game. But this one here, because of the way they won the football game, and they were, even again, the defense nearly blowing it, the fact that they were able to make that stop on fourth down, the fact that the offense figured out how to close that game, especially Carson Wentz stepping up big in the fourth quarter, this is the game that should turn it around.
I think you hit it right on the head. And like I said, I think this was the most important game since the Super Bowl. Because look, coming into this game, there were so many different narratives. Carson Wentz isn't clutch. The defense can't stop teams in the fourth quarter.
They have too many injuries to overcome. If they lost this football game, I would.
There could be a million different things. Think of the pressure. You're going overseas. You're the only game on TV at this time. Everybody's watching you. And you know what? The leadership group stood up today and said, we have to win this game. And they did. I don't think they had the better roster on defense or on the other side of the ball with all these injuries that they're having. These guys weren't 100%. But you know what? They overcame two early turnovers. They overcame a bunch of injuries. They overcame a team that was also had their back against the wall. They stood up in a time that many teams would collapse and won in a gritty manner and didn't blow it in the way they have in the past couple weeks. And that is huge, and that's what you need to see. And Jeff McClain tweeted out that he said this was the happiest that locker room has been since the Super Bowl. And rightly so.
They figured it out.
Rightly so.
They finally did it.
They deserve this win. They're going into a bye, getting 2 weeks of much-needed rest. Then they're going to go up against their heated rival in the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to come into that stadium with the mentality this is our division.
That's Sunday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football. Carrie Underwood singing the intro. They're going to be ready to roll. They're going to say, this is our division. We're going to go out there, and we're going to put the league on. They're going to put them on notice. I know Fletcher Cox said it today, but that Dallas game, they're going to put the league on notice and say
big.
They are back.
They got Dallas, then they got the Saints. So you have three of your next four games are inside the division. So, the turnaround game was now, and now it's time to really take back this NFC East, which is so clearly ours, even though the Redskins are 4-2. And even if they're 5-2 this week, they're going to be the fakest 5-2 football team that I've seen in the NFL. There's not one player on that team that scares me going onto the football field. Any team with Alex Smith, if you score more than 20 points, I'm confident. And I think with Carson Wentz playing the way he is, I think that they can get that consistency, that 24 points he scored today, start turning those into, you know, week by week you're scoring around that amount of points, maybe hopefully more. I think that's coming. And, again, you got Dallas, the Saints, the Giants, and then the Redskins. So you should at least win, to me, you should be 7-5 after
those
games.
Three out of those next
four
at home.
I want three of those four.
Are all the division games at
home? All three of the games are three of the divisional games. Yeah, all at home. So they go. They're at home against Dallas. They're on the road against New Orleans, which is a really
tough
one.
The link is
going to
be rocking against Dallas.
And then you got the Giants game at home and against Washington. So that's going. That's a big test. It's not a big test talent wise who you're playing, but it's a big test because you don't. If you go 1-3 or you go 2-2 in those games and you're 6-6. That's tough. This is the run now. This is when you make that run like last year, where, ironically, they were wearing white on white last year as well.
Yep.
Against Carolina when they won that football game. It's a very similar feel to me, not only because of the uniforms, because Carson Wentz was rocking the white arm sleeve, but because of the locker room reaction, because it felt like that was the turnaround game. Not a turnaround in the sense that they were struggling last year, but remember, what we were talking about before that game was they haven't really beat anybody good yet. Mm-hmm. They beat Washington, they beat the Giants and the Chargers and the Cardinals, all of which were struggling. They beat Carolina on primetime football, a team that made the playoffs. That was like, okay, this Eagles team is for real. And you saw that reaction. Remember the video of Malcolm Jenkins dancing in the locker room? And that's a similar feel to what we have right now with this win, with the reaction in the locker room, with the win. And now, remember that time, after that, they ripped off what? They went 9 straight wins? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of run we need now, is to get 3 of these 4. Because then 4 of the next 5 are actually within the division, because after the Washington game, then you're on the road against Dallas before you gear up for the Rams game. So you got to get those wins and get to around 8. I want 8-5. That's what we need right now to secure the NFC East. Because that's really the goal right now, is we got to win the East.
Yeah, the way you look at those division games is that it's basically 2 wins, because you put a L in the opponent's column and you put a W in your column. So that's a full game back or forth.
That's what's huge, too.
That is huge. Sunday night, Lincoln Financial Field against the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully, with a new weapon at Carson Wentz's disposal. Hopefully, a healthy defense. They're going to come out on top and show why the Eagles are going to take the NFC East again. And they are going to be the team that we know and love. The 2017 Eagles are going to take shape in this 2018 team and really dominate the rest of the year.
The 2017 team would be proud right now. I remember I quoted it before the game in Nick Foles' book, Believe It. He was talking about, because I just finished it up, and he was talking about against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, how you've seen so many teams cave to the Patriots late in games. The Jaguars in the AFC Championship game, they looked like they had that game wrapped up with a multi-score lead in the fourth quarter. But when you just see Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on the other side and they're coming back and they're starting to play well, you just turtle. And with the Eagles, they kept their foot on the gas pedal the entire game in the Super Bowl. They didn't look at the scoreboard. They didn't look at the clock. They just kept going, kept playing aggressive. And I feel like they had that mentality today on offense. So that's why I'm just feeling really good right now about this, even though it was shaky and it was nearly another really frustrating loss. It wasn't, and they figured it out, and they kept going. They kept staying aggressive. And that's what I liked from this win, was it looked like what they did in the Super Bowl, where they just kept going, kept going. The minute Tom Brady takes the 33-32 lead, and then Nick Foles like, nope, we're driving right back down the field. Here's Zach Ertz on fourth down. Here's Corey Clement. You know, then Zach Ertz takes the lead once again. That's what I saw today, was Carson Wentz was going on the field, and he was not going to let this Eagles team lose today. The throws he was making, he took over the game, and that's why I'm just feeling really good about this win, is because of the way they handle it and the way they overcame. It reminded me of the championship team that you're wearing the hoodie of right now and I'm wearing the hat of.
Yeah, it's a tale of two seasons, and I think you see a lot. No team is ever going to stay consistent outside of the New England Patriots. That's just a fact. The 2016 Eagles, they were in a lot of games, and they lost a lot of games for a multitude of reasons. The 2017 Eagles were in a lot of games and won a lot of games for a multitude of reasons. The 2018 Eagles are in a lot of games, they lose a lot of games, and they win a lot of games for a multitude of reasons. That is going to happen. You're never going to be one way or another. But how you manage those ebbs and flows and those ups and downs and the injuries and the good games and the bad games is how you're going to become successful. You can, like you said, against the Patriots, a lot of teams cave. You can cave to the pressure. This team could have caved to the pressure today, as I mentioned earlier. They could have gave in. Carson Wentz could have went back to his pressing self and thrown an interception late in that game, like we've seen in 2016 and we saw couple times this year. You've seen it. He stepped up in the biggest moment. This coaching staff stepped up in the biggest moment. you could see it throughout the game. They said, okay, let's play conservative. And then they said, nope, they took their foot and said, we have to play. We have to play to win. You cannot play to lose. And that is what this team did today. And by all rights, they should feel good flying back across the pond that they grinded out this win and said, we are the best team in this division and nobody's going to tell us otherwise.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this was a big statement win. And again, against a great defense, the way they won it. Hey, shout out to our London listeners because and our just our listeners over the across the pond because that's a big win to get them. That was a home game for the Eagles. You could just tell, you could hear it just watching it on TV. You could hear the crowd, and it was awesome to see our guys Johnny Page, our guys Liam Jenkins, and you know all our listeners Tony out there in London listening to the game. Just there's a lot of Locked On Eagles listeners over in England and in Ireland. There's a big Eagles following over there. So congrats to you guys to get a win over there and to have that. Because I remember going to my first game against the Bills in 2011, and I was heartbroken that they didn't win that football game. So the fact that a lot of them, for that was their first time seeing the Eagles, that's a good win to get. And you saw Carson Wentz in person, which is – I saw him last year against Washington on Monday Night Football.
It's a spectacle to see.
That is – it's something I've never seen before. The only other time I was just starstruck by a player live at a game that I went to was – LeBron James, I went to see in Cleveland a couple years ago. So I saw the greatest basketball player of all time. But then I went to see the most talented quarterback I've ever watched in person in Carson Wentz. And I saw Michael Vick in person. I've seen Tom Brady. But I've never seen someone take over a game like I saw for Wentz. So happy for our Eagles fans over there across the pond as well for a big one.
Yeah, it looked like a great environment. You have to give it to I still say the Eagles fans are the best fans in the league. They will travel anywhere.
That's the thing. It wasn't just fans from there. People from Philadelphia were headed over there.
Yeah, this game could be in the middle of Kazakhstan, in the middle of a desert, and Eagles fans would still get out there.
Antarctica.
Like, yeah, exactly. These guys love their team. It was a great environment. I saw videos from over there in the pubs. It was a rocking environment. That's a huge element. When you go over there and you see that support and you see that love for your team and you hear the fight song in an environment that is kind of out of the ordinary, like you're on a pitch that is a different texture than most turfs that you play on. It's just a different feel, but they showed up. I think it's a lot like that Chargers game last year where they felt that energy and they took it as their own and they really dominated when they needed to.
So we're feeling good. They won the game.
Feeling great.
And now the trade deadline looms.
Oh, yes.
So this is Tuesday.
This is where we make our money.
The trade deadline, I'm not sure the exact time
of
the deadline. 4 o'clock. It's always during the
deals
afternoon.
Deals will come
so
in right around then.
It's not just tomorrow that the Eagles could get a deal done. The Eagles or the Bills are playing the Patriots tomorrow night. LeSean McCoy is expected to play, which is big for his trade value because say the Bills lose that. Say the Bills get blown out of that football game. Right now, according to Pro Football Talk, said that they don't expect LeSean McCoy to be traded. But if the Bills lose that game and the Eagles come to the Bills and say, we'll give you a third-round pick right now for LeSean McCoy, I think it's going to be very hard for the 2-6 Bills to say no to that. So, Gino, stay on call tomorrow. We're going to keep watching this throughout. We're going to watch the rumors. We're going to have a show regardless tomorrow. We'll take a second look at this game. We'll rewatch the game. We'll get into some more talking points, some stock up, stock down. But we might be doing an emergency trade reaction podcast. So the tide of tomorrow's show and on Tuesday might be completely different because I think Howie Roseman, he's going to do something. Or he's at least, you know, he's making the calls. What did you say before the show that every like bunch of teams
are hunting right now?
Pull
that up real quick. But yeah, Jay Glazer mentioned it. I'm going to find the exact tweet. But I don't expect Howie to sit tight at all. Like we saw it last year.
You know he's going to be – he's been on the phones, and you know he's – I think he's got to do something.
Even if he makes
a T.J. Yeldon type of trade, or maybe he goes after a corner again. I don't really expect him to do anything really on the defensive side of the football. But even if he goes after, say, a T.J. Yeldon type or a Robbie Anderson, I do feel like a trade is going to happen.
Yeah, my friends jokingly call me Gino Schefter, Gino Drager, if you're a hockey fan, because I literally just sit at work and have a screen that's just Twitter, and I just update all day. On the trade deadline day, I just sit there, update.
I always skipped school for the NHL trade deadline,
I wish
the
I
NBA.
Could do that.
And now the NFL, the way it's going because of Howie Roseman, the NFL is going to be like that this week, so I don't know, Gino. I might be staying home tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow are going to show a lot of who the buyers and sellers are going to be because you like you said with the Bills, they're 2-6. They could easily go to what? It would be 3-5 they would be. Like, they'd still technically
and
be in the hunt.
And crazy Sean McDermott would think he's still in the hunt. So we need a Patriots win if you want LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, so Jay Glazer said today that he expects this trade deadline to be crazy, that teams are calling on guys like Odell Beckham. Guys are calling on guys you would never think would be
in the NFL
to get called on.
2-3 years ago.
He says the Patriots want a premier wide receiver. That's a huge thing. They say that the Packers and Rams are looking at pass rushers. Bruce Irvin's name's been thrown out there. They use the likes of Demaryius Thomas.
Deshaun Jackson,
Carl Joseph. These names are going on. And this is starting to move towards that NBA and say, okay, we are the winners. We are buyers. We're all in. Look at a team like the Rams. They're all in this year. Like, they're losing a lot of pieces after this year because of contracts they have to pay. Goff out there, they're going to lose Ndamukong Suh. They're going to lose some big names.
Marcus Peters. So
they're
going
to go all in. Teams like the Eagles, I'm not trading high picks to mortgage your future because you have a better setup going forward.
Yeah, I'm not giving up first-round picks.
But if you could get complimentary pieces, I would give up a first-round pick if it's going to be a guy who's 24, 25, who's premier,
I'll give him a first if I know Le'Veon Bell is coming here and he's signing a contract extension.
Yes, I would do that.
Then that's the only guy.
Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation mentioned on their podcast the other day that if I'm Howie, I'm calling on Odell Beckham, because if you give up high pieces, think you have Alshon signed for 3 more years, you have him have a duo of that caliber.
How do they even make that work?
It would be tough, but Nelson Aguilar's future is in doubt. Like, you don't know what you're doing with him. You picked up his 5th-year option, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be on the team going forward. There's so many options, and you're going to find out
It
would be hooey if Howie doesn't make a trade. We'll go with that, but yeah, he's not going to stand pat. He knows where his holes are. You have 2 weeks to get healthy. If they like Mike Wallace and Matt Collins to come back, I wouldn't expect a huge move at wide receiver. Do they think they could bring in an impact running back? Do they want to add depth to the defensive tech? If you can give up
3rd and 4th for Deshaun and McCoy, let's do it.
That would be the most wild trade deadline of all time.
The fanboy, the 10-year-old in me.
I was just thinking how
young. The 13-year-old in me.
Yeah.
Would not be able to contain himself.
I was just thinking how happy I would be that I didn't burn my Deshaun Jackson jersey when I was a kid.
In that scenario, you still have a first and two seconds next year.
Yeah.
I would probably sign up for that right now. What kind of Eagle season would it be if we're not talking about reunions with Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, and Deshaun Jackson?
You have
Maclin,
to love
it. Was earlier.
I think
season,
one of those two
playing.
Is a good idea.
Someone just do it. Someone come back. Even if it was Jordan Matthews is not enough for me. He wasn't one of the guys I was talking
it's
about.
Not the core.
He hasn't been gone long enough for me to be nostalgic on Jordan Matthews. Even though he's been a good pickup off the streets right now.
Absolutely.
Someone, Deshaun, McCoy, not really Maclin anymore. I'm out on that. Someone just come back. They're both still really good. McCoy, they're both over 30 years old right now.
His offense with Deshaun and like his explosive
choose
ability.
Choose one right now for a third-round pick. Or 3rd or 4th. I won't say the value.
That's higher than would give up.
Let's just say you have to choose the Eagles trade for McCoy or Deshaun. You don't know the value. Just choose one right now you want for the offense. The fanboy in me wants Deshaun, but I'm trying to be responsible.
I don't trust any of the
McCoy.
Running backs. Like, right. I don't. I would have to go McCoy. Because he would be rejuvenated if he came back to Philadelphia behind an offensive line that doesn't have Vlad Dukas blocking for him.
Like, who would you be more excited for if they came back?
Deshaun Jackson, because he was I loved him more.
I have a poster has been in my room for
Are you just thinking in your head what it could be like to see Deshaun streaking down the sideline and Carson just like, I love the camera view when the quarterbacks cock their arm and they move before the football's out to catch up with the receiver. Yeah,
happening.
I envision that view of Deshaun Jackson in my head and I could see that happening. And I would love to see one of those two come back and get a ring with us. That would be cool. But
viewer's guide for today, we need tomorrow,
go ahead.
Because we're talking about
Let us know what the scenarios
are. We need the
are.
Bills to lose tomorrow to the Patriots.
Yep.
We need the Buccaneers to lose to the Bengals right now. I don't know when you're going to be listening to this podcast, but right now in the second quarter at the start, the Bengals are beating Tampa Bay 7-0.
Perfect.
And Deshaun hates Jameis Winston.
Oh, he does not
like
him.
He hates Jameis Winston. The Bucs are not going back to Fitzpatrick this year. So Deshaun wants out. Tampa's being bullish on it right now. But if they lose today, they're 3-4. Deshaun's got a pretty decent-sized cap number, although not really any of it's guaranteed next year. He still has about $5.6 million on the books this year, but the Eagles, remember, freed up $11 million with that Cox restructure.
They wouldn't do that for nothing.
So We need Cincinnati to win today. We need the Patriots to win tomorrow, just to make things possible.
Who are the Broncos playing?
The Broncos are playing the Chiefs, and it's 7-3 right now in favor of Denver.
Okay, we need. So because those,
that's another trade candidate for us. The Jets, maybe, with Robbie Anderson, would be a cool pickup.
I'm hearing a lot that they're in on trade talks, which is kind of strange to me because I don't think they're going to compete for a playoff spot, personally. But
yeah,
I don't know what's going on there.
They probably want to add somebody for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, give him some weapons.
Because, again, like these—
Cardinals, we need the Cardinals.
How often are these players that we're talking about, are they going to be available?
No,
I mean, this doesn't happen very often that there's so many star players we're talking about. And we're talking more about former Eagles than anybody just because, I mean, those are the guys we know, and they're still really good, and they're realistic because Howie Roseman has been interested in those guys. We're not just throwing things at the wall like DeSean or McCoy would never happen again. We're not talking about bringing Michael Vick back. These are two players still that DeSean
can produce.
Is a top-graded receiver. PFF has had him as the number one-ranked receiver for a while this year. And LeSean McCoy is behind one of the worst offensive lines in football, and yet he's still— week in and week out, still averaging around 4 yards a carry. So, and Howie Roseman called about LeSean McCoy last year and this year. DeSean Jackson and the Eagles had mutual interest in the 2017 offseason. So it's not unrealistic to think that one of these could happen. I want something to happen now. Now that we're 4-4, 3-5 would have been a tough sell to give up legitimate resources into this season. But now that we're 4-4 in the way we won, I'm believing again. I'm back on. Although I never really, me and you have more been the optimists of Eagles media so far. After winning a Super Bowl, this team, I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt all season until they're out of the playoffs. So I'm going all in on Monday and Tuesday. Howie, make something happen. Preferably Le'Veon, preferably one of the reunions, but just do something for this offense to add more weapons to surround Wentz. Because the way Wentz is playing right now, let's get him more weapons. Let's just keep maxing him out.
Before we hear any rumors, before we know who wins these games or anything, on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, name one candidate outside of DeSean and Shady that you would like to see for either side of the football. Name one each.
So Le'Veon's the cheap answer because I already brought him up, but I won't go with Le'Veon this time. And I'm going to go with – I want Robbie Anderson.
I think that's a good
one. I want Robbie Anderson. I think he's the perfect – because you don't have to – with that, you can still use Jordan Matthews and Anderson almost as like a rotation. There's still packages where you're going to want Jordan Matthews on the field over Robbie Anderson, and I don't think you're going to have to give up a lot to get Anderson.
No.
And he'll have a similar impact to DeSean. I'm not going to disrespect DeSean by saying Anderson would do the same thing, because DeSean Jackson's probably the best deep threat of all time, just talking about that is his unique skill set. But Robbie Anderson has that similar trait.
Younger,
probably not going to have to give up as much. He's very cheap. I don't even know what
he's got some off-field concerns
making, what,
too.
Under $1 million
right
now,
probably.
Yeah,
I think he's still on his rookie number.
So I'll say Robbie Anderson on the offensive side. On the defensive side, I don't really want anybody, truthfully. I think maybe Bruce Irvin would be
an interesting idea.
I think a situational pass rusher like Bruce Irvin would be good.
Yeah.
What about you? Give me two.
I'll start with the defensive side of the ball. I think a guy like Kyle Williams would be huge because
that would be nice.
He's up and down all the time. You need a solid run stuffing defensive tackle.
And the Bills like their young defensive tackles. They like Harrison Phillips, and they pay.
They're more athletic too.
A lot. Yeah,
yeah, but they're not great to get off of they don't get off of blocks as well as a guy like
the
Kyle
oldest
Williams.
Defensive tackle 1-2 punch outside of Cox, Haloti Ngata, and Kyle Williams.
Kyle Williams,
I take that. Though.
I think that'd be a solid piece. He wants to compete for a championship. I think you could get him cheap. Moving to the offensive side of the ball, I think if you could, I would call on T.J. Yeldon. Who knows what they would say?
Yeah, Yeldon's a nice
but
one. I like that.
Devontae Booker, I think, is a very interesting candidate. Mm. Like, he's a very shifty type back. He's buried on that depth chart in Denver. They have Royce Freeman. I know he's out today, but
Philip Lindsay's stepped up. So.
Yeah, him and Royce Freeman are the combo. So he's just buried on the depth chart. Who knows? But if you can get a Le'Veon Bell,
who knows if it's
going to happen.
We talk about DeSean and McCoy a lot because they were Eagles, but
he's the eye of the ball.
I'm calling the Steelers
all day
tomorrow. Just, what are we doing?
Ship out 100 Pat's cheesesteaks out there. Or what? I know people aren't huge on Pat's. Let's say Jim's
like
South
Pats.
Street.
I went to Pat's.
I prefer
in the
Pat's over Geno's. Even
gone to Geno's yet. I did Pat's this summer. I did Steve's Prince of Steaks.
That's very good too.
Really good. That was actually the best one I've had. I went to Sonny's. That was a good one as well. So I've done different ones each time. I have
did
not
the
done
three
Geno's.
Popular ones. Tony
How about we
Luke,
send them like 100
Pats.
And we'll they'll
For,
be well
assorted.
Assorted.
We'll do a well assorted from ones, everybody's favorite cheesesteak place. But yeah, call get somebody. It's gonna happen. It's gonna be fun. Guys, enjoy
and
this.
It's all because they
it's
won.
It's a great
like,
Sunday, everybody.
Four. Let's just,
we're going to have 2 weeks to celebrate.
It's perfect. It's not only that they won, but it was at 9:30. So we get now, after this podcast, we get all day to watch football.
Some great
knowing,
football games.
Because football sucks when the Eagles lose. Oh, I'm just going to be real. I love the NFL, but I don't want to watch a second of football. After they blew that game against Carolina last week,
I turned off every TV
I
in my
didn't
house.
Watch another second of football. I really didn't. I went back in and I watched on Monday, but I was not watching football after that game.
Chance.
So now it makes the day so much better. The Eagles win it 24-18, taking down a Jacksonville Jaguars defense. Again, one of the best in football, thanks to Carson Wentz. 286 yards on 21 completions, 30 attempts, 3 touchdowns.
Who's your MVP today?
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz,
Carson
of course.
Wentz. I think it was obvious. All right, that's going to do it, everybody, for today's Locked On Eagles podcast. Post-game show edition. My name is Louie DiBiase, signing off. Gino Camilleri to my left. Follow us on Twitter, at LockdownBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. We will be back tomorrow, hopefully talking about a potential trade. We'll get some trade deadlines up in, stock up, stock down, continue to talk about an awesome Eagles win to get to 4-4. So for myself and Gino Camilleri, this has been Locked On Eagles. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.